Blog Talk Radio.
Good morrow and welcome back to The Realm. I am epic fantasy author J.V. Hilliard, your friendly neighborhood scribe. And for those marking your first adventure into The Realm, this is my vast and sweeping domain where I feature a variety of creatives on a weekly basis. So that, you know, every week we might have a poet, we might have an author, we might have a videographer or a cinematographer. You never know what you're going to find on the show. And today I've got a publisher, an editor, and an author joining me. And as always, if you like what you hear, you can find me and my epic and dark fantasy books at jvhilliard.com or follow at jvhilliardbooks on Twitter/X, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, or look for me just as JV Hilliard on Facebook or Discord. So as we reach our witching hour, let me cast my message spell and take control of the magical airwaves of Blog Talk Radio. And for you D&D nerds out there, the duration of my magic is about 30 minutes, so set your sundials and let's enter the realm together. Tonight we'll be chronicling the adventures of a fellow speculative fiction scribe, Allison Ivey. Allison is not only a fantasy author, but she also is the editor of Altered Reality Magazine, and you can find that at alteredrealitymag.com. Altered Reality Magazine helps some authors find a portal of publication, especially first-time authors, while also publishing the work of many veteran authors, poets, and now they include artists in that mix. Allison, well met and welcome to The Realm.
Thank you. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure, and I'm interested in getting into the publishing part of what you do. We have a lot of readers that listen. We have a lot of authors that listen for tips. Never had a publisher on before, so this is interesting new territory that we tread. So I'm going to put your books off to a little later, and let's talk about the publishing gig up front. But before we get started, tell everybody about yourself, what you write, and where they can find you.
Sure. So my name is Allison Ivey. I write usually young adult, new adult fantasy books. You can find me at AllisonIveyBooks.com. That's where I offer some editing services. You can also find me at Linktree/Allison_Ivy, and also, of course, under alteredrealitymag.com. You can find me there as well.
Cool. Well, let's get right into it. You're a publisher of a magazine. You're an editor for that magazine. That's a big responsibility, and there's got to be a lot of moving parts to that. What's your favorite part of working on the magazine? Is it the editing piece? Is it the creative stuff? Is it, you know, helping folks get that, find that portal of publication? Or what is it for you? What's your favorite thing? What motivates you to get out of bed every day to do this?
Well, it's a little bit of all of that mixed together. I've always loved editing and helping people showcase their work. That's definitely a plus. It's a lot of great stuff that you just mentioned mixed together.
So describe just like day-to-day stuff then. So like if someone wanted to submit to the magazine, they're sci-fi or they're a horror author or even I didn't even know we had a horror poet on here a few months back. I didn't even know there was a thing until I met her, and it was funny. But how do people, like, what do you look for when you're waiting for submissions to come in? And you know, is it one that, you know, your eyes open up when you read it, or are you, you know, is it a little bit more mundane than that? I mean, what pops and what gets you to offer them the opportunity to publish with you?
So I guess one thing is that it's clear that they like what they're writing about. They have passion, and it shows through their work. It's always going to show when somebody doesn't care what they're writing. They're just jotting things on paper, and it shows usually. It's also great when it's also great when they run a simple spell check that can go miles because they're ahead of the
game. What you're saying is you edit your stuff before you send it in.
Just like a cursory once over, that goes miles to showing that you care. And really just following submission guidelines, things like that.
So what makes one submission stand out over the other? Is it the story that they tell or the story that they weave, or is it one that's more buttoned up that makes it cleaner and it's easier for you to do the editing stuff, or, you know, is it something else that I haven't mentioned?
It really depends on the story. So some, it's like the idea of what they have behind it. Sometimes it's like an exciting theme to it. I'm always like a sucker for horror. So if it's a horror story, that usually stands out to me. But you definitely have to be like objective with the genres that you review. You have to have a mind for all of it and really know all of the genres.
So what do you at Altered Reality Magazine look for then? I mean, it sounds to me like, you know, if I'm listening tonight and I'm an aspiring author and I want to submit something, it could be in what genre do you want to see? What genre is the most popular submissions that you get to? I mean, is it just, it sounds to me like speculative fiction's broad, right? That's anything that's going to, that's sci-fi fantasy in any Barnes & Noble store. But like, what kind of stuff do you see come over the transom? You know, what's the most popular submission and how do you judge them?
Right, yeah, we see all kinds of things. We see, like, speculative fiction is very wide, as you said. We do see a lot of darker stories. Like you were mentioning, the horror poet, that did come through. We get a lot of fantasy, sci-fi fantasy, as you said. Yeah, really just everything. We also get artwork and even cosplay at times. So it's a wide range of things. And you really have to be open to it. You can't just close yourself off to one or two genres. You have to be open to everything.
It's interesting because I never thought of it that way, but, you know, for an online magazine, you can get away with art and you can get away with the cosplay stuff because cosplay, you're really – it's, you know, it's in the photography of it. And for those of you who don't know what cosplay is a part of costume play where folks will dress up for their favorite characters or they'll dress up to celebrate or to honor a character, whether it's a superhero or someone from a Dungeons & Dragons movie. They do those kind of things. And there's additional, they go one step further. Some of them do LARPing, which is live action role-playing. So you've got cosplayers and LARPers and everywhere in between, but I guess you're right. I mean, if they just submit those things, you could publish those as well, and they kind of tell their own story, right? They're telling it through the advent of the costume and the, you know, the character stills that you're sending. But the art stuff is interesting to me. Have you seen some of that recently? And you know, is there trending that way, or are people expressing themselves more in, you know, a traditional visual art form as opposed to the written when they're reaching out to you? Or what started that phenomenon? And why do you think you've seen more of that lately?
So it's interesting. I've only seen like a couple, but it's definitely trending. I think it's as pop culture is like a very big part of day-to-day life. And I think as more people find out that Altered Reality is open to cosplay and not just, you know, like being a good painter, which is great, but there's a wider range of things that we're accepting. So I'd love to see more cosplay come up in the submissions. So it's an open call for cosplayers.
you just drop the gauntlet, you know, and see who actually picks it up and, you know, slash you across the face with it. You never know. You'll be cursed with what you ask for, right? So like, you buyer beware. I mean, I know that I'm going to a library convention this weekend to sell my books, and there one of the judges that's part of the costume competition that's there is a professional cosplayer. And you know, I didn't know that was a serious thing. I thought it was more of a hobby thing, but you see them all the time. I mean, there are folks that dress up. There's one crew that comes out as Ghostbusters, and there are units of Ghostbuster, you know, cosplayers around the country. They have different names for their Ghostbusting units. And there's the popular one. The one you see the most, I think, is Star Wars, whether it's a, you know, a garrison of stormtroopers or a mixed bag of different Jedis and stuff like that. At my geek and nerd conventions, they are all over the place and they have a fun time doing it. And I know they don't make a lot of money doing it, but it's a side hustle for a lot of those folks. And, you know, I've seen them go to hospitals, you know, children's hospitals in particular. They've shown up at parties and they get a chance to have fun dressing up, and you know, by the same token, you know, they're entertaining folks as part of that. So that's cool, and that's really interesting because I haven't seen that in any other magazines before. So I'm glad you guys are doing that. But you know, let me ask you this in specific. I mean, as an editor, what suggestions do you offer to writers when you edit their work? I mean, what advice do you have for those looking to submit to Altered Reality magazine after your, you know, a million listeners tonight are tuning into you? What advice would you give them?
Oh, a million listeners, no pressure. advice for the people who submit, I guess always just be polite. Politeness goes a long way. Actually, looking at the submission guidelines, that goes a long way as well. Just skimming through your work, making sure everything's the way you want it, even just like a couple minutes, and just showing that you love what you do, that you're really passionate about your poems or your photography or your short stories.
So for someone who reads all the time, I mean, do you still find enjoyment reading on your own time? And is it hard to break away from editing? Like when you're reading your own, it could be a Stephen King novel for all I know. You know, do you stop and start and like can you divorce yourself from the editing process? You do it so much, or you know, are you just sick and you're just like, I don't read at home anymore because I read so much at work?
Oh, that's a good question. I definitely edit everything I read in my mind. it's like the curse of being an editor. But I do still find enjoyment in reading. I read a lot of young adult and new adult, fantasy and horror. And after a while, I'm able to get into the story and just turn off my brain. But I do, it does bug me when I see like a grammar error. That's something that I don't think will ever go away for as long as I live.
Well, look, we all have our burdens, and yours is one of an editor, I guess. But how does you mentioned that you read a lot of YA and new adult. And for those that are listening that don't know the difference, explain to them what a young adult book is versus a new adult book.
Sure. So young adult is, if you're thinking like Harry Potter, things like that, it's like more coming of age stories, teenagers, high school, things like that. And then new adult is like a newer genre where the characters are a little older. So they could be college age, they could be graduates. And the text, the matter is a bit darker. So like if you see like certain spicy scenes, that would probably be like new adult. And young adult is more just general light, slow burn, or light romance. So it's a lot of things.
Now, you said you read a lot of that. How does, you know, does that influence you in any way? Does that help you with your work with the magazine? Is that something that helps you as an editor? Is that something you start looking for, that kind of stuff? Because the stories that are popping that you're reading for your leisure, you know, does that influence the kind of stuff that you publish in your magazine?
I wouldn't say that it influences, but definitely reading all the time definitely helps me with seeing, like, the current trends of the different genres. We don't get a lot of new adult or young adult, but I'd love to see more of that. But a lot of it is more, I'd say, adult that we get. But I would love to see a lot more of that.
That's crazy. You would think that's a very popular genre to write in for anything that's sci-fi and fantasy. It's still at a stage where most people have an open mind to things and they like to explore. It's not as shut off. And you know, I find, you know, older crews have a tendency to kind of, you know, there's a waxing and a waning there. They wane away from that stuff. I'm surprised you haven't gotten more new adult or young adult stuff in the door. Why do you think that is?
I'm not sure. I think when people see that something is speculative fiction, they don't really see that they can, like, age their characters down. I think something about speculative fiction just turns them off, maybe, with young adult and new adult authors. But now that we're talking about this, we do have a serial that is sort of young adult, new adult, that is a great read. It's by A.S. Race. It's publishing every month, so I love reading that every month. But yeah, you're right. We don't see a lot of young adult or new adult.
Yeah, I've read The Curse of the Ibn Maw, and I think that's what he's writing. That's a real interesting, because you're right. It is. Young adult / new adult. It is darker, but that's well written, and I would recommend it. I think he's an up and coming author. I know he's done some stuff recently, and I would definitely recommend. I'm glad you mentioned him, and we have to make sure that we send this out to him afterwards and get him a copy of the link for the prophecy. He owes you a lunch or a coffee or next time you guys get together. But that's great. So I got to change directions here a little bit. We've talked a lot about your, the magazine. And of course we've talked a lot about you as an editor and what you're looking for, but let's talk about you as an author. Now you mentioned before you read a lot of horror, but you're a fantasy author. I mean, why the difference?
I think sometimes they go hand in hand, with fantasy and horror. There is a sort of blending at some point. And I am working on a bit of a horror, so it's a transition. But I think there is a bit of a mixture with the genres.
Yeah, I mean, I see a lot of that these days in dark fantasy. And as a writer of dark fantasy, it's not the same. Sometimes dark fantasy is portrayed as, the genre where the good guys don't always win. But my dark fantasy has a bit of the gothic in it. You're telling me that yours is dark fantasy. So maybe look, you're on it. You might as well do it. Go ahead, plug your current book, and then tell us about your future book.
Okay. So you meant my older book?
Yeah, The Dragon and the Double-Edged Sword. Yeah.
So The Dragon and the Double-Edged Sword, published a couple years ago. It is a fantasy series set in 2599, the year 2599, where humans are extinct, and it's just mythical creatures. And so it's the connotations of what would happen if all the humans are gone. And it has witches, mermaids, elves, a bit of everything. And
you get the standard fare of like fantasy realm stuff without the humans in this, huh?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Why'd you go down that road? I'm just curious.
The dreaded question of where do you get your ideas?
That's exactly right. What dark recesses of Alice and Ivy's brain does that come from?
I think it kind of stemmed from the idea that humans wreck everything. I don't mean to go too far.
So it's a philosophical take, right? You're telling a story here for generations to come.
Yeah, it was the question of, like, what if humans run around? It was one of those, like, late-night rants that your brain goes on, this, like, tangent. So I guess that's where it really stemmed from.
I get it. So, and I interrupted you. You're about to finish your, you just started laying the path to talk about The Dragon and Double-Edged Sword, and I had to jump in because I wanted to know where you got the idea from. But go ahead, continue. Tell us about that, and then we could talk about your work in progress.
Sure. So that is The Dragon and the Double-Edged Sword. It's about when a human comes back. It's like time travel. He travels to the future from the distant past, and what would happen if that occurred. And it's a series. I have not finished the second one yet, but I hope to one day. But the more recent book that's coming out is not in that series. It's more new adult, whereas Dragon and the Double-Edged Sword was young adult. So it's a new adult portal horror. So, you know, how, like, Alice in Wonderland is, like, a portal fantasy, sort of, where you go down the rabbit hole. So this new book is going to be a portal horror, where it's darker themes, and then the specific portal is going to be a book. And it has elements of... Yeah, thanks. It has elements of The Page Master, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, that horror movie, Ready or Not, if you've ever seen that. And,
I love that movie, by the way.
Also, Jumanji. Yeah, Ready or Not is one of my favorites.
Well, tell me a little bit about, you know, the genesis of that story, because that sounds like it's far afield. Like, why did you step away from finishing the series and start this? Was this something that just spoke to you and you're like, I've got to do it? Or, you know, was this something that you've been wanting to do and you just couldn't put it off anymore? Like, why did you make the decision to kind of walk away from the series and give that a pause to write this?
So, like, The Dragon and the Double-Edged Sword, I wrote that coming out of college, and it's been a couple years, and I've grown, and with this new one, it did call to me. It's kind of like the book of my heart. It's the book that you have to write, and the book that you, it's like your baby, want to just make sure it's perfect. So not sure when it's going to come out, but I want to make sure it's everything that I want it to be. It's everything I want to say. All the themes are there, and make sure it's perfect.
You know, I've got something similar. Like, I have this great vampire novel in the back of my head, but I'm a fantasy author, right? And I'm like, like, what do you do with that? Because it's so out of genre that it's hard. And I know that's my publisher, and we'll get to your publisher in a second. My publisher would never allow, I would have to do it outside of Dragon Moon. It's just something that you just don't cross the streams, to use a Ghostbusters term. It's completely separate. And I've got this great idea for it, but I'm afraid to write it because I don't want to screw it up. So, like, I've put it off because I want it to be when I'm the best writer I can be for it. And not to say that I don't like where my books have gone, but it's an interesting, you know, and you jumped right at it. So let's talk about that for a second, because I'm interested in, you chose to go the independent route over finding a traditional publisher. Why did you do that? Like, especially someone who publishes for part of her living. So, like, was there a way that you, was there a reason that you chose to be an indie author? What was like the, or will you ever consider migrating over to the traditional route?
I think I would consider it with this new book, maybe. But why I published The Dragon and the Double-Edged Sword as an indie book is more about creative control, really being in control of, you know, the cover, the fonts, and the general overall way I marketed it, and the story. So just, I think having 100% control is great. With that, though, it's also the stress of, you know, marketing. Everything's on you. You have to get that book out there, get the word out. So I think I would consider getting an agent or submitting to publishing houses in the future.
So are you going to seek them prior to the release of your work in progress, or are you going to go indie with this next book arrival?
I am leaning towards getting an agent for this one. I want to, you know, give it its best shot, get the word out there as much as possible. I'm definitely exploring that for this current novel.
Now, do you have a timeline for completion? I mean, are you done now? You're designing the cover, or are you still writing, editing? Where are you in the process?
I'm one of those people who has to like design a cover just to see what the story is. And so I definitely photoshopped my own cover. I don't know if it's going to be the final cover, but I definitely have something in the works. And I am editing a printed draft now, just in like a coil bound notebook, and going through that. And I hope in like a month or so to get one or two beta readers in, before I actually start querying agents.
Well, you know, if you need a beta reader, I know a guy.
So
let me know. I'd be more than happy to take a run at it. You know, it sounds really intriguing, and, you know, I know you might not want to release the title of it yet, but have you decided on the title?
I have, yes. It came very early in the editing process.
All right. Yeah, so you're sounding like you're being cagey about it. I won't push you on. I know that's something you can use to release and push around social media around, so that's all good. So, you know, I hate to say this because – you know, it's a blessing and a curse, but we're coming to the end of the show. We only have a few more minutes, and I usually run all of my guests through a lightning round. And as much as I hate to see you go, I love to put them through the lightning round. And because you're a horror novelist and you have Altered Reality magazine that does horror stuff, I'm going to stick with the theme of Halloween for you. So I hope you don't mind because it's really pertinent. We're in the middle of October, and I'm hoping to get out and see The Exorcist stuff this weekend. So I'm ready. Are you ready to go into a lightning round?
I am ready. And I also saw The Exorcist. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts.
All right. Okay. Please don't tell me anything. I just want to go and check it out on my own. But all right. So I know you love horror. I know you love the gothic. I know you love dark things. So I'm going to ask, simple one. I'm going to start off with a softball. What is your favorite scary movie?
Ready or Not. Let's just say it. Ready or Not. Ready or Not.
All right. Yeah, that's a little bit of a cheat. We talked about it earlier, but you know what? That's a warm-up question. I'm going to get this a little more serious, and now you might offend some people if you don't choose their book, but your favorite horror novel of all time? And
oh,
you can't
my
choose
gosh. That is a very good question. There's so many.
Give me one. I need one. It's a lightning round here. This is more like a lack of lightning
music.
Round.
Theme music by T. Marie Vandelli.
Okay. All right. An easy one. Favorite Halloween candy?
Sour Patch.
Wow, I didn't expect that, but I guess that's what this is all about, right? So, and final question, because we brought up cosplay before, best costume you yourself have ever worn to a Halloween party?
Cheerleader.
Really? Like Buffy kind of cheerleader? I know exactly. I knew it. All right. Well, look, we are coming to the end of our duration of the message spell that I cast earlier, and I can feel the magic fading from my eyes. So before we leave, I want to thank you again, Allison Ivy, for coming on the show, and tell everybody one more time where they can reach you.
They can reach me at AllisonIvyBooks.com or Linktree/Allison_Ivy, either one, or AlteredRealityMag.com.
Well, thanks again, Allison, for being on. It's a pleasure. Come back on when your next book launches. More than happy to have you on to promote that and talk about it. I can't wait to get my hands around it. So thanks again. And to our followers, thanks again for lending us your ear today. And until next time, I am JV Hilliard, and may your gods go with you.